Brother Larry McClenny just led the prayer. Good to see Larry. I was hoping he'd be able to be here. I've known Larry for a long time. I think the first time we met was when Dean Bullock was preaching a gospel meeting in Greenwood, Arkansas, where I was the local preacher at that time. Dean was preaching here in Lindale. And Larry, he went up to Greenwood and led singing for the forest during that gospel meeting. And really think a lot of Larry and the McClenny family. And good to see all of you again. I remembered when I was teaching Bible class a while ago, one of the main reasons that I enjoyed myself so much when I was here the other time, and that is you are really good listeners. You listen so well during the Bible class. I could tell that you are in tune with the Scriptures as we were reading them and as we were discussing them. And that sure makes it easier for the preacher when he gets up here and preaches the Word of God. I regret that Tracy was not able to make it this time. Last time, I'm staying with Matt and Allison again, but we stayed with them the other time that I was here. And Tracy and Allison just really hit it off, and she really wanted to come and see her and to be with the church again. And but just really regret that she's not able to be here because of a prior engagement. You know, the book of Hebrews is called a word of exhortation. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22, the writer says, "Now I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." He said, "The words that I've written to you are exhortive. I've written this word of exhortation to you." The brethren were wanting to return to the old covenant with its inferior priesthood and inferior sacrifices. And now the Hebrew writer is writing this letter of exhortation. He's trying to encourage them to continue in the new covenant, which is better. In fact, the word "better" occurs 13 times in the book of Hebrews. It is a better covenant based upon better promises, better sacrifices. Everything is better in Jesus Christ. Then do not return to that inferior system, the law of Moses. But you know, in our text, and our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, going through chapter 6 and verse 3. And in this text, which we are about to read, we have an exhortation, but we also have a rebuke and a commitment is mentioned. As this morning, I'm talking to you about commitment to spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. "Having just said that Christ has been called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits." So, first of all, as we look at our text now, we see, first of all, a rebuke. But the rebuke is in three forms. First of all, he says, "You're lazy." He says, "You are lazy hearers." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, "of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, remember the connection between verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, Christ was called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, he said, there's a lot that we would like to talk to you about. I'd like to explain more of this to you about Melchizedek, how Christ was called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But it's difficult to do this because you are dull of hearing. The word translated dull is also translated in other places in the Scriptures as sluggish. For an example, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word translated sluggish is the same word that is translated dull in Hebrews 5, verse 11. You're dull of hearing. The footnote in my Bible on the word sluggish in Hebrews 6, verse 12 says lazy. You're sluggish. You are lazy. It is put in contrast to diligence in Hebrews 6, verse 11. So in Hebrews 6, 12, there's the word sluggish. In contrast to that, verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. The addressees of this letter, they should have been diligent and careful hearers of the Word of God. But instead, they were sluggish, lazy, dull hearers of the Word of God. But then the rebuke takes on a second form. He says, you have not been making wise and diligent use of your time. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the writer says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, by this time in your spiritual journey, you ought to be teachers of others, but instead you still need others to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, the problem is not that you have not had enough time. The problem is not that not enough time has transpired from the time that you became Christians until the present, so that you could grow. He said, the problem is that you have not made wise and diligent use of your time. But then, in Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, the rebuke takes on this form. You continue to be spiritual babies. Hebrews 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said, solid food, meat, belongs to those who are of full age. They're grown. They're mature. But instead of being on meat, you are still feeding on milk. The milk of the Word. When you should be feeding on the meatier teachings of the oracles of God. And it was all attributed to the fact that they were lazy. They were lazy, dull hearers of the Word of God. All right, now there's the rebuke. But then following the rebuke, there is the exhortation. In keeping with the nature of this epistle, a word of exhortation, Hebrews 13:22, he now exhorts the brethren in this context, where he's speaking of spiritual growth. In Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2, he said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. First of all, in Hebrews 6, verse 1, in exhorting the brethren, he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Well, is he saying then that we should never study the first principles again? Once we have learned the first principles, should we never study the first principles again? He tells us about some of these first principles. He mentions them in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. You'll notice the word foundation in Hebrews 6, verse 1. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. What is that foundation? Well, he speaks here of the first principles. And are we never to think about and study the first principles again? Repentance, faith, baptism. Are we never to think about the resurrection of the dead again once we've learned it? Are we not to think about the eternal judgment of God? No, he's not saying that we should just abandon the first principles. But he is saying build on top of the foundation. The foundation is there. They had learned the first principles. Now they should have gone on and built on top of that foundation. You know, I think sometimes we find it easier to study about and to think about things that we've already studied. Things we already know about. Let's just keep studying about baptism. You know, we've learned about baptism. We've even acted on what we've learned. Let's just keep studying baptism. It's easier to do that, isn't it? But then to accept the challenge, to branch out, and to expand our thinking, and to build on top of that foundation, studying things that we haven't really studied before, thinking about doctrinal matters that we really haven't thought about before, it's new territory to us. Now that is more of a challenge. The Hebrew writer is not saying, well, let's not study the first principles anymore. But now let's move forward and let's build on top of the foundation that has already been laid. And then in the exhortation he says, let us go on to perfection. You know, the words let us occur several times in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In verse 11 of this same chapter, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 24, you'll notice the recurring words, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When we read over and over and over again the words, let us, in this word of exhortation, the book of Hebrews, then we understand that we have an exhortation in front of us. Let us do this. Let us do that. And now in our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to maturity. Let us go on, as God would have us to do, to becoming full grown, mature. No longer feeding only on the milk, but advancing beyond the milk diet and feeding on the meatier teachings of the Word of God. Let us go on to maturity. So now we have the rebuke. We have the exhortation. But this morning I'm talking to you about a commitment to spiritual growth. And that's what comes next. In Hebrews chapter 6, And verse 3, he said, this we will do. Reading now, Hebrews 6, verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. This is one of the many we will passages. Thought about making up an outline, preaching that sometimes, the we will passages. And I think one of the most famous we will passages in the Bible be Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, where Joshua, in his farewell address, he's exhorting the people to make a choice as to whom they will serve, the gods of the Amorites in whose land they dwell, or the true living God, Jehovah. But he says in Joshua 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that was Joshua's commitment. We will serve the Lord. Have you ever said anything like, well, you know, I guess I haven't really been as faithful as I ought to be in my service to the Lord, and I guess I'll try to do a little bit better and involve my family more in spiritual things and service to the Lord. I tell you, that's not what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was Joshua's firm resolve. And you know, that's the first step in doing anything that requires diligent effort. You got to make up your mind. And Joshua had his mind made up. He had made a commitment that he would serve the Lord. But here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 3, we're talking about a commitment. When the Hebrew writer says, and this we will do if God permits. What's he saying? Well, in keeping with the context, we will dedicate ourselves to spiritual growth if we continue to live, if we continue to be in good health, if we continue to be of sound mind. This we will do if God permits. Our song leader a while ago, by the way, I appreciate the good song service and the fine way in which we were led. And he mentioned a while ago the title of the sermon, Commitment to Spiritual Growth. And he said, a commitment to spiritual growth requires humility and recognizing our dependence upon God. And isn't that what Hebrews 6, verse 3 is saying? This we will do if God permits. But we're dependent upon God. If God permits us to continue to live on this earth and to be of good health, of sound mind, then we will dedicate ourselves to moving beyond the milk. We're not going to feed on milk for the rest of our lives, because we are determined that we're going to be able to handle the solid food, so that it will not be so hard to explain doctrinal matters like Christ being called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So now we have the rebuke, the exhortation, the commitment. And now for the rest of our time this morning, I want us to think about some specifics we will commit ourselves to. That is, now we've made that general commitment. Here's this general heading. Committing ourselves to spiritual growth. Now, if we've made a commitment to spiritual growth, then here are some specific things that we will commit ourselves to. First of all, we will commit ourselves to personal study. Somebody says, you know, I'm really kind of busy. I just can't work it in right now. I'm just really busy. I heard a preacher ask one time, he said, what if you were offered a brand new car? And not just any brand new car, but the car of your dreams. What if you were offered a brand new car, if you would just read the Bible through in 1 year? Would you be too busy then? I doubt if we'd be too busy. Are we really too busy to involve ourselves in personal Bible study? The Bereans were not. Luke says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. They were not too busy to search the Scriptures daily. You know, I'm afraid that as members of the Lord's church, sometimes we're not making wise and diligent use of our time because we're too enslaved to our technology. I mean, we're just really enslaved to our iPhones and our iPads. Maybe too enslaved to them. It may be that we're not making wise and diligent use of our time because we're too enslaved to our hobbies. Or we're too enslaved to money and making more and more of it. We need to make a commitment. Every one of us needs to say, I will read, study, learn, and grow in the Scriptures. I will commit myself to personal study of the Word of God because I've made this general commitment of spiritual growth to Jesus Christ. And then we need to commit ourselves to faithful attendance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, speaks of the whole church coming together in one place. But then three verses later, 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, let all things be done unto edification. And so therefore, when the whole church comes together into one place, everything is to be done in order to build up and strengthen and to promote spiritual growth on the part of every member of the body of Christ who is present. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, exhorting one another. Right after he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, he said, exhorting one another, encouraging one another. You know, I'm of the persuasion that when the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another, he's not talking about the idea of exhorting people to be in the assemblies. Today, with our modern day technology, we might say, well, you know, I've noticed someone's not here, some brother, sister in Christ hasn't been in attendance for a while, so I'll just pick up my iPhone and I'll call this person and exhort and encourage this person to be present. Now, that's a good practice. We are our brother's keeper. And we need to be mindful of one another. And we need to encourage one another to participate in the spiritual activities of the local congregation. I'm just saying, I really don't believe that's what Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is talking about. But when he says exhort or encourage one another, he's looking at one of the things that is accomplished in our assemblies. When the church is assembled together into one place, let all things be done into edification, building up and strengthening one another. We are to exhort one another in the assemblies. But you know, it is difficult to consider one another in the assemblies and to stir up one another into love and good works in the assemblies and to exhort one another in the assemblies when we're not in the assemblies. Why would we not want to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ who have made the same commitment to spiritual growth that we have made? You know, I encourage brethren to really be involved in the Bible class program of the local congregation so that brethren can be involved in a systematic study of the Scriptures. I said a systematic study of the Scriptures. Not this idea of, well, I know that God wants me to read a little bit every day, and so therefore I'll just, wherever the Bible happens to fall over today, that's where I'll read. That's not a systematic study of the Scriptures. It's not a study of the Scriptures, period. But when we're really involved in the Bible class program, Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, doing the very best that we can to participate, then surely this will help us to be involved in a systematic study of the Scriptures. So therefore, let us make a commitment to faithful attendance, being with brothers and sisters in Christ for periods of worship and study. But another specific we will commit ourselves to is right thinking and right living. You know those two things go together, right thinking and right living. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. He said, out of the heart spring the issues of life. There is a definite connection between the heart and thinking and our actions. James chapter 1, verse 21, James said, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He said, in order to receive the word of God with meekness, in order to receive it into our hearts, we must get rid of everything that would get in the word's way. You know, sometimes that's hard to do because we like what's in the word's way. But we've got to get rid of the filth. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I know a preacher who used this as a text in a sermon one time, and he called the sermon, Throw Your Attitude Away and Grow Up. And really, I think that's a pretty good title for this text. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, he said, lay all that aside, throw your attitude away. Now, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Throw your attitude away and grow up. Yes, desire, crave the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But recognize you've got to get rid of the sin. You've got to get rid of the wrong thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here, Paul, he said, you have a choice as to what you will meditate on. And you need to meditate on things that are pure and wholesome and right. Philippians chapter 4, and reading in the 8th verse, he said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, but lay aside the filth and the wickedness, the malice and the envy and the hypocrisy. And so therefore, if we're going to make that general commitment to spiritual growth, then we're going to have to specifically commit ourselves to right thinking and right living. And then there's one other thing I want to talk about, and that is we must commit ourselves unto prayer. As we make a commitment to spiritual growth, we should acknowledge in prayer our dependence on God. Hebrews 6, verse 3. And this we will do if God permits. Yes, as our song leader, I believe his name is Jonathan, as he said, yes, this requires humility. It requires that we recognize our dependence on God. We must humble ourselves in prayer and understand that we are dependent upon Him for our spiritual growth. You know, I just cannot imagine anybody praying with all sincerity about his commitment to spiritual growth. But then as he does that, he habitually misses precious opportunities for personal Bible study. Or he misses precious opportunities to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ for periods of worship and study. So therefore, let us commit ourselves to sincere prayer unto God, acknowledging our dependence upon Him. You know, any ball coach knows that there are athletes who are inclined to give maximum effort. And then there are athletes who are inclined to give minimum effort. We must determine that we are going to give unto God maximum effort. Doesn't He deserve that? And we need to determine that we're going to give unto God maximum effort in personal Bible study, in attendance, in right thinking, in right living. And we're going to give Him maximum effort in prayer. You know, the Hebrew writer, he rebuked those Christians for being babes in Christ. But I want to say to you that even though we know that he rebuked them for being babes in Christ, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ. Except that we're not to continue to be babes in Christ. And that was their problem. In fact, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, to become a babe in Christ. To be born of water and of the Spirit, as Jesus taught Nicodemus in John, the 3rd chapter. And being born again, then yes, you will be new in Christ. You will be a babe in Christ. So we'd encourage you to repent of your sins, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, that you may be a new creation in Jesus Christ. But then once you become a babe in Christ, to accept the challenge of going on. Learning the first principles, but then to someday leave the first principles and build on top of that foundation. Accept the challenge of being the full-grown Christian that God wants you and me to be. If you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way, please come while we stand.